It is just a little bit too much for me, but I'll go ahead and finish it. But I gotta be honest with you, it is a little bit for me.
Praying holy manna will be showering all around.
Well, there you go. That's a little bit too twangy for me, for my taste anyway. But anyway. Oh, I don't know. I think Becca likes that music. She's one of those Southern ladies, so she likes that music. To me, that's a little much for me. A little too thick for me. But hey, some people like it that way. Maybe it's because I'm a northern guy. Maybe that's what it is. I'm just not quite that southern there for myself. But anyway, you see, like let me show you. Let's see. Like I like this one here.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him. As you live to love him more, bow the knee.
In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke and all things came to be. Yet he hears its simple prayer I bring before him.
When I humbly seek his face and bow the knee, God alone on his throne,
lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. Bow the knee. King of all the ages, bow the
come
knee.
And bow the knee.
God alone on his throne. See him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore. As you live to love him more, bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
Bow the knee.
All right, one more, and then we're going to get started here. Let's see.
When I was just a little boy, I'd hold my father's hand. It felt so big and strong and safe, it helped me learn to stand. I'd place my little hand in his and squeeze with all my might. As long as Daddy held my hand, I knew I'd be all right. I'm holding Father's hand, I'm holding Father's hand. I'm leaning on his mighty arm and learning how to stand. He helps me take each little step as only Father can. I'll walk into the future just holding Father's hand. He'd fold his hands in prayer each day. He trusted in the Lord. His hands embraced the Bible as he taught us from God's Word. I saw in him a simple faith that showed me how to live. There was no greater gift of love my dad could ever give. I'm holding Father's hand, I'm holding Father's hand. I'm leaning on his mighty arm and learning how to stand. He helps me take each little step as only Father can. I'll walk into the future just holding Father's hand.
My Father's hands reminded me of Jesus' tender care. I still can hear his gentle voice that called my name in prayer. His loving hands protected me and helped me understand. My faithful Heavenly Father always holds me in his hand.
I'm holding Father's hand, I'm holding Father's hand. I'm leaning on his mighty arm and learning how to stand. He helps me take each little step as only Father can. I'll walk into the future just holding Father's hand. I'm holding Father's hand, I'm holding Father's hand. I'm leaning on his mighty arm and learning how to stand. He helps me take each little step as only Father can. I'll walk into the future just holding Father's hand. I'll walk into the future just holding Father's hand. Holding Father's hand.
Amen. holding Father's hand. What a good lesson. Earthly fathers, if they walk with God, can really aid and help their children to love God and to teach them that they have a loving Heavenly Father. And they can do that. That's God designed it that way. He designed parenthood that way. And that's exactly what God would have his children to do, his fathers and mothers, to remind their children of the Lord and to teach them that way. So we ought to be fathers and mothers that love our children and teach them that they have a loving Heavenly Father, or he can be their Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ, and that they can walk with him and that he loves them. So just remember, as fathers and mothers, we are training our children how to live without us. And that's what we have to remember. We are raising them up one day to be without us. Think about that sobering thought. Even with your children, I've got a 17-year-old son, and I have a 18-month-old son, and both of them one day will be without me on this earth, and all that I do for them now is to prepare them for eternity. All the work that I put forth and the sacrifice and that their mother does and everything that we do, and we ought to teach them the love of God through everything that we do. And it's very important work, and it cannot be slighted. It cannot be minimized. It's important work. Children are to be raised. They are not just to grow up. And when children grow up, they grow up with a lot of weeds and a lot of bad things. If they're raised, they are nurtured. They are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means you're guiding them through life. My goodness, parent your children, please. Parent them. Teach them. Parent your children. I was just at a mattress store with my wife. We're looking at getting a new mattress because my back ain't having this mattress that I have now, and it's a memory foam one, and it's not that bad, but it is. It's sinking in the middle, but it's not like a ship or anything. But anyway, got to get a new one. By the way, they're not cheap, but I need one for my back because you spend I only spend like 6 hours in bed. Some people spend 8 hours in bed, but 6 to 8 hours in bed every day for a long time. So good support is necessary, right? So I've got to get a new mattress and all that stuff. So, and I was talking to the gentleman there, and he's not a Christian. You know, he's a geologist. Yeah, that's right, Joshua. The ocean of sweat and tears when I went through deep depression and everything, that really wore my bed out a little quicker. Yeah. Interesting. But anyway, I was talking to this geologist, this amateur geologist, man, and he didn't believe in creation and he believes in evolution. But one thing that he noticed was that we parent our children. There are so many people that don't parent their children today. That was the second comment we've had in a week, probably. My wife and I had took our daughters out to pick up some stuff for some girls or something, or some late girls at church a week ago. And we were walking across the parking lot there, and I looked at Prudence, and I just said, stop. And she stopped, like right on a dime, right there, just stopped. And the lady that was getting ready to pass us in the vehicle rolled down her window, and she said, I'm glad you parent your children, because so many people just let their children just run out and they don't parent their children, and they're just running all over the place in the parking lot, and they can be hurt. See, people notice. They notice what you do. They notice your family. If you walk with God and you teach your children to walk with God and you teach your children to love the Lord and you raise them biblically, people will notice that. They will notice that there's something different about them. Because most people don't parent their children today. They just don't. And it's detrimental to their upbringing and to your Christian testimony that you parent your children, that the television doesn't, the internet doesn't, that you don't ignore them with your cell phone, but you parent them and teach them. And anyway, so just some thoughts there for your Friday for you to think about and to glean from. Very important things, right? So don't minimize those things. But anyway, it does take work, but when you continue to have procedures and you teach them good habits, they'll start to perform those good habits in the way that they're supposed to, just like they do the bad habits that they form when they're not watched the way they should. So anyway, we're all learning, all parents, we're always learning, always growing, always testings and blessings, and we fail, and we get back up again, and we do it again. But God has the way. God has provided the way, and he shows us exactly what we're supposed to do, and we ought to obey him, and we ought to do it. And it is a lot of work. Raising children is a lot of work, and it's important work. And it'll pay dividends later. It's an investment, and the investment comes later. When you invest things, you don't get it right away. You get it later. You know, so anyway. All right. Well, let me say hi to everybody on here. Let's see. Joe McDonald's on here. Jacob Yates is on here. Andrea is on here. My wife is on here. Joe Dempsey. Patrick. Oh, Patricia. I'm sorry, Patricia. I can't read sometimes. Patricia Mauser is on here. Mary Teresa. Pilgrim Lady. Carrie. Terry Carter. Becca. Carl Winters, the infamous Carl Winters. Teresa Darrell's wife. All right. And then we have Cindy Nelson. Betty is on here. Kelly is on here. How are you, Kelly? Joshua on here. Christine Sinclair. Maria Perez. Kutzelo. I don't know how to say that, but anyway, I was probably close. Andrea, I think I might already said hi to you, but I'm not sure. Chain Break. My dad's on here too. Why are you looking at a fish with its mouth open? Well, I'm going to explain that to you while you're looking at that. All right. We're going to talk about that. That apostasy, which is the reason why we are dealing with this today. Apostasy knows no bounds today in this world that we live in. But it's important that we always differentiate between the apostasy, right? That is out there, biblical Christianity. And this is what happens when you leave the Bible. First of all, you have a female pastor, which is there's no such thing as. That's the first thing. When you have that perversion, you have more perversion. Perversion begets perversion. This is how perverts think. This is how they react and that this is how they think. This is why leaving the Bible is a very dangerous thing, because you never know how far it will take you. The evangelical, the ELCA, is a raging dumpster fire, says the dissenter. Given their love of everything Antichrist, it's no exaggeration to say that sitting through an actual church service in one of their pagan temples would be horrible. But look at this. Remember the time when Jesus was thirsty with the woman at the well? He asked her if they could have a drink together. Do you see how she just totally perverted that? Jesus wasn't asking that woman if they could have a drink together. I don't think you and I should be talking to each other, she said. And he was like, if you had an idea who I am, you'd be begging me to buy you a drink. She's like, I don't think your bucket is big enough for my well. But she's softening up a little, and he's like, you have no idea how I could get your well gushing. And he has to check, where's your husband? He's God. He doesn't have to check anything. You foolish bimbo. And he says, I know you're a naughty, slutty girl, but she takes that the wrong way, and there's a little bit of an argument here. That's not what happened at all. See, look at this. Though some may want to dismiss her as a crackpot loon, which she is, even though it wouldn't matter if she were, but rather she continues to rise in the ranks through the ELCA. 3 years ago, she was elected to the Discipline Committee of the Delaware Maryland Synod, where she enjoys a close friendship with the bishop. She has also spoken on at least one panel with Elizabeth Eaton, the head of the ELCA. By the way, if you ever want to ruin a church, if you ever want to ruin anything, put a woman in charge of it. A church, you put a woman in charge of it. She'll ruin it for sure. She'll destroy it for sure. Why? Because she's not supposed to be there. That's why. Because God never gave her the authority to do it. So they're perverts already. So they're given over to anything perverted. Already. Without a doubt. Here's another one. Again, the ELCA is set to have its triennial gathering of churchwide assembly on August 8th through the 12th. Hey, happening only once every 3 years. Nearly 900 voting members of the Wicked and Perverse denomination, representing 3 million wicked and perverse members, will descend. Hey, I already paid for this. What's going on here? I had to get to my paid. Let's see. Here it is. Here we go. It says, where do rebellious anarchists go when their conservative churches discipline them out of the congregation for unrepentant sexual immorality? The ELCA, that's where they go, is an apostate denomination that affirms homosexuals as well as female clergy. Often you can see them with booths set up, various gay pride marches around the country, denying Christ and giving people false hope and a false gospel. But the sexual immorality isn't the only Antichrist rebellion, the ELCA affirms. Apparently, they will be merging with Native American mystics to worship false gods. They will honor and celebrate indigenous people through presentations and worship during the week-long event. The announcement also states that elements during worship will include a prayer to the four directions. Hey, you know who else did that? That witch, Beth Moore. Beth Moore did the same thing. Prayer to the four directions. Which will incorporate a gathering of waters from the four directions within the territory of the ELCA and a time of repentance as called for in the repudiation of the doctrine of discovery. The four directions, east, west, south, north, is incorporated by Native Americans as what is called the medicine wheel. According to research, the medicine wheel, sometimes known as the sacred hoop, has been used by generations of various Native American tribes for health and healing. It embodies the four directions as well as Father Sky, Mother Earth, and Spirit Tree. All of which symbolize dimensions of health and cycles of life. What is this? It's paganism. They're just merging with other pagans. Mystical occult teachings. That's all they're doing. They're coming to the logical end of their position. When you leave the Bible, you come to the logical end of your position, which is paganism or worship of anything other than Christ. Because when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They don't like the God of the Bible. That's why they have female pastors, because they don't like men. They don't like Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who is fully God and fully man. They hate men. They're men haters. That's exactly what they are, is men haters. It's what they do. They hate on men. They can't stand men. They are false prophets. They are seducers. They seduce away. The Bible warns us about such people. And such times it would come. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. See, these are seducing spirits. What they're teaching is doctrines of devils. Right? They're teaching doctrines of devils. And doctrines of devils are all over. They are absolutely filled with doctrines of devils. When you leave the book, when you leave God's holy word and you depart from the faith, it's apostasy. When you apostatize after this manner, it's only a short time. Right? When you leave the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, this is what these people are doing. So they call themselves a church, but they're nothing like a church, a biblical church. Nothing like it. They're nothing like a biblical church. It's just apostasy at its finest, or its dirtiest. SBC Mega Church covers Kendrick Lamar's dirty rap song for a sermon illustration. An 8,000-member Southern Baptist Mega Church continues in its celebration of all things fleshly and sinful. Fresh off the doing the cover of the Run DMC sleazy sexual song Walk This Way, they perform Kendrick Lamar's N95 only cleaned up and sanitized for church audiences, removing the curse words and the racial epithets. They made headlines early in 2020 after its pastor David Hughes was selected by another Florida pastor, David Utt, to speak at the 2020 Southern Baptist Convention's annual meeting. The church by Glades has been well known for its carnality, worldly appeal, and extravagant performances of secular dance and music, including Stormtrooper dance, Disney medleys, and covers of Beyoncé's Freedom. So if you see here, here's what they are doing. They're trying to be like the world. And if they can make the church like the world, then the world will come into the church and be happy. But only, here's the thing about it. They're just the world. They're just proving what spirit they are of. They're just proving what their spirit is. And it is that spirit of Antichrist. Beyoncé's song Freedom, other world worship songs selected by this church and its band included a cover of the pro-LGBTQ Mormon band Imagine Dragon and another of Shirley Manson's band, Garbage. One of Lamar's most popular songs, We Cry Together, contains hundreds of cuss words, including the F word 76 times, the S word 14 times, the D word twice, the N word 23 times, and the B word 43 times, and the A word 13 times, and multitudes of other foul and explicit language. So you see, this is who they are. This is what they do. I'm not even going to read you the lyrics. Because these people are so worldly and wicked, it doesn't bear repeating. But you see, this is the spirit they have. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And it's rising everywhere. And when churches want to be popular, they will follow it. that's the spirit that they have. Jesus said something about that spirit. He explains the children that are his and the children that are not his. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. See, here's the thing. These nominal professors of Christ, just like in the parable of the sower, the first three grounds, they start out, they give an example, they look like they bear fruit. But it springs up really fast, right? And then after it springs up, the fruit is gone. Why? Because every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The seed grows up quickly and it's gone. With a not, and on with joy they receive it. They're not real. That's why they go back to the world. They're not real. But Christians, the Lord purges them that they bear more fruit. But those that are just mere professors in Christ, they don't bear fruit. So they are cast into the fire. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They go to hell. Why? They're not real. All they are is nominal professors. They play church. Just like these people. They play church. They're not interested in walking in holiness. They're not interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not interested in their lives being changed. They're not interested in being conformed to the image of Christ. They are not interested. Their interest lies in the world. They would not have Jesus to reign over them. They do not want to be like Christ. They have no desire and no interest to be like Jesus. They want to make the world, the church, comfortable with the world. And it never will be. The world will always hate the Lord's church. Always. They will always hate the Lord's churches. Because the world hates Christ. Always has. Always will. Look very closely. That word enmity is 8 times. Jesus said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's always going to be enmity between the world and the seed of the woman. He said it right there. Do you see that? Listen to me very closely. There will always be enmity between the seed of the woman and the world. Jesus said it. And that's never going to change. The world hates Christ. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's the way it goes, friend. There's enmity there. If you would be the friend of the world, you will most certainly be the enemy of God. Because the world hates Christ. Jesus said that we are of the seed of the woman. And there will always be enmity. Satan is the god of this world. Very religious, by the way. That's what people don't get. The most dangerous people are those in false religions. The most dangerous is when Satan comes as an angel of light. This is his most dangerous form. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Most dangerous. Most dangerous as they misrepresent Christ, like this guy. Most dangerous. Here's another one. Bunch of perverts. Lutheran lady pastor says the virtues taught in Proverbs are actually about lesbians kissing. The LCA. Right? The headline of this article is not satire. This is what this lady actually believes and teaches. Lura Groen, the pastor, in parentheses, of Abiding Savior Lutheran Church in Columbia, MD, and former pastor of Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church in Houston, is not a fringe teacher in the ELCA, but has served in high-ranking positions. Look, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy can be names of God's righteous lesbian angels. God doesn't have any lesbian angels. You nasty, disgusting woman. Angels are neither given in marriage, nor are they married. The angels in heaven. God doesn't have nasty lesbian angels. But see, that's the teaching. So she says goodness and mercy are angels. I firmly believe and hold to the fact that these apostates, lesbians, female pastors, they hate Christ. They have devils in them. They are completely possessed. I believe it. I believe that they are possessed by devils. And they have this rage and hate. This psalm is describing the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, this psalm is describing the relationship of Jesus Christ to his sheep, knowing Christ as the good shepherd. This is what is being described here. And they have bastardized it, this lesbian, devilish, possessed dyke has taken it, perverted it, changed it, made it into something that it is not, because they hate Jesus. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And they hate him with a passion. So because they do, they mock. They have this spirit of Antichrist, and they mock him. You have to understand this. They're doing this on purpose. They're not doing this because they're just simply confused. No, they're doing this because they're possessed by another spirit. They're doing it out of spite. They hate men. They hate the man, Christ Jesus. They hate God. They hate men that are made in the image of God. They hate Christ. And they're doing it on purpose. This is what they do. This is who they are. If you can understand that, then you can understand that, then you will easily be able to ascertain what their motives are and why they're doing what they're doing. Because they're preaching purposely against Christ. That's what they're doing. Because they hate him. They hate his order. They hate his direction. They hate his instructions. They hate his book. They hate his person. They hate Christ. If you'll understand that and grasp that, then you won't trust them. Because if they speak not according to the law and the prophets, you're not to listen to them. You're not to receive their message. Because they are hateful, antichrist, devil-possessed people. To the core. You'll never convince me that any woman that has stood up and defied the scriptures and called themselves a pastor and defied the word of God, whatever denomination she's a part of, whatever group she's a part of, has defied that and done their own thing when the scriptures clearly teach against it, you'll never convince me they don't hate Jesus Christ. You'll never convince me of that. All of the charismatic women that have stood up and done this, they hate Christ. Ellen G. White hates Christ. Hated Christ. And is in hell hating Christ today. McPherson hated Christ. I'll show you. Hang on. one of the king haters of Christ. This absolute disgusting, nasty, vile, wicked woman hates Christ. She hates Jesus.
Today,
this woman hates Jesus. She absolutely 100% hates Christ. I'm telling you, from the clothes that she wears, from her nasty, disgusting, perverted music video that you can see right here that don't watch, but I couldn't even watch it because it was so perverted. I couldn't watch it. It was that perverted. She made her break. But look at her. By dressing like a slut. By looking like a slut. Uh-huh. And that's who she is. Dressing up like Xena Warrior Princess right here. Uh-huh. You ain't casting no devils out. You putting them in. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem. None whatsoever. Calling it out. None. Because that's the seductive stuff that witches do right there. That's the stuff they do. The first demon I ever cast out right there. Oh yeah, I bet. Wearing your tight britches and your tight clothes and your seductive look. And your nasty, perverted look right there. I'm telling you what, these people hate Jesus. They hate Christ. That's who they are. Never forget that, friend. Never forget that. Yeah, that thing is scary right there. I don't know if I want to talk about that. It's disgusting. They hate Christ. How about another fake right here? Todd White, charismatic preacher, is known for his parlor trick healings. His leg lengthening healings. Here you go. You ready? This ought to be interesting.
Hey, everybody. Sean here, and I hope you're doing well. Today, we're going to look at a couple of clips. Just over 2 years ago, Todd White supposedly repented of not preaching the gospel correctly. So let's take a look at his most recent video and a story he tells.
The other night, we're coming from this Amish tent revival, and we're hungry. It's like we didn't eat anything till late, and it's late. We're driving. We got an hour and a half drive. So about 25 minutes in, we stop at the gas station. You know how gas stations at night, they ain't letting you in. You got that little box. You can pay for your gas or you can do whatever. I walked up to the window, and my buddy Blake, my assistant, he walked up the window and said, "Hey, can we get some food or something?" He goes, "Yeah, you can, you know, tell me what you want, and I'll go get it." Real nice guy.
And they decided to film themselves buying food for what reason exactly? Just saying.
So we went up there and started talking to him, and I asked him if he knew who Jesus was. He said, "Yeah, the other day I was taking a walk with my friend, and I saw this thing, and it said, 'God is always with you.'" And I'm like, "That's cool, man." I said, "You know what you should do? You should give your life to Jesus, buddy." He goes, "Yeah." It's been a while since I've been to church. People equate giving their life to Jesus with how long they've been at church.
He's right in one sense that many people believe they are Christians because they go to church. I used to be one of them. But Scripture is clear that we must be born again.
So I reached underneath here and I grabbed this kid's hand to pray for him. As soon as I grabbed his hand, I saw him taking a pistol, putting it in his mouth and blowing his brains out.
I want you to pray with me. I want you to say this. Can I see your hand?
Broke me. So as we're praying, I said, your life is not yours to take. I command that spirit of suicide to come off your life. And he started to get delivered behind the glass.
He looks pretty much the same to me.
I need to hear my father like that. It's different than evangelism, the way that we teach it.
Yeah, because true evangelism includes telling people about sin and why Jesus died for us. But as usual, we won't hear any of that.
So I'm praying for this kid, and he's getting born again. He's getting saved, but he can hardly talk. I said, you need to open the door right now, dude.
Typical Todd. He's getting born again. Why? Because Todd's holding his hands and praying for him? Nothing about sin or repentance.
Right now. I need to hug you right now. So he's crying and he gets to the door and he opens the door. I said, come here, bro. And I held him. I said, your life is not yours to take. It now belongs to Jesus.
And this is exactly why there are so many false conversions. People going through an experience and then being told they are saved or now belong to Jesus.
Oh my God. If you were there, you will never be the same.
Yeah, and just take God's name in vain while you're at it. So did Todd White truly repent of preaching the gospel incorrectly? No. And the second clip we're going to see shows that he obviously didn't repent from doing false leg lengthening as well. I got this clip from John Elving's site, and he did the work to speed up the video. The first video is from a while back, but clearly shows the scam in progress.
Yes. It's this one. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Right leg row.
Right leg row. Oh my God.
Did you feel?
Yeah, I feel it.
Stand up. Check.
It's
okay. Now.
It's very clear to see that the one leg is being manipulated, and this usually starts with Todd so-called prophesying that someone has a hurt back and then blames it on one leg being shorter. But notice, the kid at the end said that his back still hurt, and Todd just says, it's okay.
Stand up. Check. It's okay. Now.
Often there's a placebo effect and they don't feel pain because of the power of suggestion. And now we'll see in this recent video that he's still up to the same shenanigans.
Let me see your feet. That's like 2 inches. That's way short. Jesus' name. Left leg, I command you grow right now. Jesus' name. Did you feel?
Yeah.
It's good?
Yes.
Yeah, come on. Jesus is amazing. He loves you so much.
And it's the same gospel message. Jesus loves you so much. And if he did actually preach on sin like he said he realized was important when he repented, he obviously didn't see that part important enough to include in this video. The fact is that it would seem that Todd White didn't really repent because 2 years later, he's still saying and doing the exact same things as he used to. You can watch all sorts of videos in his playlist here on Revealing Truth.
Okay, so basically what this man shows, right, is that these charismatics never repent. Like Creflo Dollar, people said, oh, Creflo Dollar repented. No, he didn't. He just told people, don't give money. Don't tithe to your local New Testament church. I was wrong about tithing. Well, that's not repenting. You didn't explain anything. You didn't teach anything. Right? So same thing as Todd White. He didn't repent of anything. Same as Benny Hinn. He didn't repent of anything. These charismatics don't repent. Because if they did repent, they'd quit preaching. Because they'd be ashamed and they'd go learn how to follow Christ in a local New Testament church and grow in the Lord and be under supervision of a biblical pastor for a while until they learned how to walk with God the right way. But these people are fake. They're not real. They're not. All they are apostates. That's what they do. It's what they do. So anyway, unfortunately, we see the same pattern over and over again of what these people are. And from the Lutherans to the Charismatics to the Southern Baptists, we see apostasy rising everywhere. And unfortunately, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse as time goes on, right? There's a lot of stuff here I could talk about, but I'm going to get onto my video here pretty soon. There's a lot of stuff. Whoopi Goldberg misrepresenting God, saying God supports abortion, made us smart enough to know if we need one. That is just straight up wicked, but what do you expect from a vile lesbian witch? What do you expect from her? That's what she is, right? That's what she is. You expect her to represent God a biblical way? Of course not. She can't, right? How could she? If these people ever represented God the biblical way, they'd be out of work. They'd be out of money. If they ever represented God a biblical way. That's just the truth. Now, we are going to play one song, and then we are going to switch gears here, and we are going to go into some street preaching encounters that I had last week. We're going to talk about a few of those and kind of break down some video, talk about a few things, right? And learn some things. So let's see. How about this song?
Blessed Bible, how I love it, how it doth my bosom cheer. Whatever rank is to covet, oh, what stores of wealth are here. Blessed Bible, how I love it, how it doth my bosom cheer. Whatever rank is to covet, oh, what stores of wealth are here. Tis a fountain ever bursting, whence though weary may obtain water for the soul that's thirsty, that it may not thirst again. Blessed Bible, how I love it, how it doth my bosom cheer. What hath earth like this to covet, oh, what stores of wealth are here. Charge that never faileth, one which God to man has given. And though oft the storm assaileth, it will guide you safe to heaven. Blessed Bible, how I love it, how it doth my bosom cheer. What hath earth like this to covet, oh, what stores of wealth are here. Tis a pearl of price exceeding all the gems in ocean found, and its sacred precepts heeding, so shall you in grace abound. Blessed Bible, how I love it, how it doth
we go. Now, to set this up, this is an event that took place last week. Basically, last Saturday, we went preaching, OPBC, the Men of Old Paths Baptist Church. We went preaching, and there were a ton of lesbians at this rock, at this country concert. And I'm glad that they were old, overweight lesbians, because they all had their clothes on. That was good. That part was good. I'm not glad they were lesbians, but I am glad they had all their clothes on, because that was good. That was that way we weren't defiled by everything that we saw as bad as we have been. However, I did ask some people about my sign, and I'm going to start doing this more. What do you think about my sign? What do you think about my banner? What do you think about it? I'm going to ask, I started to ask those questions, so we'll see what happens. Now, the audio is going to come in, okay? So it's okay. It's going to come in loud. Garrick is over here holding the banner, and this lady is going to ask me some questions. She's going to ask me why I'm here, why I'm there, and I'm going to answer why I'm there. Okay?
BSF. So
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you explain what that is?
Bibles, fellowship.
Oh, okay. That's like a, is it like a program or something? Or
yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't get why you're here.
Oh, well, we're here because there's people here, okay? And the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's why we're here.
Okay.
We're here to preach the gospel to everybody.
So go ahead.
Okay. Well, the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for sinners.
Yes.
That he was buried.
Okay.
And that he rose again from the dead.
Okay.
And that man is inherently sinful and God is inherently holy. And
okay.
The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life
That's
through Jesus Christ our Lord.
That's all of that. That's so great.
Yeah. See, she's kind of mocking me here, but that's okay. She got the truth anyway. But she's like, oh, it's so great that you memorized all that. As if it's not from my heart, like it's just some script that's memorized. Now, what I mean by that is that they don't understand that the Spirit of God has wrote that truth on our hearts. And it means everything to us. They don't understand that. They act like it's some kind of like it's some kind of employment or some kind of a job, right? They don't understand that these are the words of life.
Yep. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
So Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the sinner.
So I get all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that you must be born.
I get all that. See, scores of people tell me the same thing. I get all that. Yeah, but it hasn't changed your life. See, truth received in the head does very little, but it can lead to more. But truth received in the heart is what changes a man. There are scores of people that believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, but they've never put their faith and trust in him, and it's never changed their life. It's never been a matter of the heart to change them and to make them new creatures.
Born again, the Bible says repent.
Yes,
and
so
be
I've all done all that. So I'm just curious, why?
Why what?
You're here to preach that.
Because we don't want people to go to hell.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
That's very generous of you.
Well, we know that the Bible says, therefore know we the terror of the Lord, so we persuade men.
Very generous.
We care about your soul.
Absolutely.
We don't want you to die and go to hell.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Are you going to die and go to hell?
Oh, are you saying I am?
No, I'm asking you.
No.
Okay. And why would you not go to hell?
Oh, so now you're getting very nasty.
No.
See. Oh. Oh, now you've personalized it. I'll back it up a little bit, okay? Just because we'll hear what she says here. But oh, now you're personalizing it. When it was a general thing, it was cool. But now you're asking me about my own soul. Now you're asking me about my own soul. And now you're asking me. Yeah, exactly. See, Jesus asked his disciples, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then he said, well, who do you say that I am? Yeah, she probably is drunk. I would go along with that. But she's not my enemy. I care about her soul. I'm not paying attention to what she's wearing. I realize that she's drunk, but I also realize that 99% of Christians out there are never going to try to talk to this lady. They're never going to talk to her. They're not going to say anything to her. They're just going to let her go. Somebody's got to tell her. Somebody's got to warn her. Hell.
Oh, so now you're getting very nasty.
No, I'm not getting nasty.
You are getting nasty.
No, of course not. That's
you
not
are.
True. Nah, that's not true. I'm not.
No, you are.
I'm not upset at all. I'm not getting
feisty
at all.
You are. You're attacking me.
No.
You are.
Not at all.
But you are.
No, come on. I haven't even said anything like that.
You did.
No, I asked you why would you not go to hell?
Yeah. Why would you not go to hell?
Because Jesus Christ forgave my sin and changed my life and made
me
a new creature.
So you want me to say, oh, Jesus Christ saved my life?
No, I don't want you to say anything that's not true. I want you to say what you believe. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Right. See, so here's the thing that I said to her. I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to repeat anything to me. I want you to tell me the truth, where your heart is. I want you to know where your heart is. Know what God's word says about eternal life so you can be saved. I don't want you to repeat something to me. I'm not looking for you to say words that make me happy. I want you to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? But Maria, Maria said, you know what she will do. She will let it go in one ear and out. But you don't know that for sure. You don't know what God's going to do with that. That's the thing. You have no idea what God's going to do with that seed that is planted. You don't know that. That's why you have to tell these people. You don't know. We're not God. We don't know what he's doing with that. We have to tell them, though. They need to know the truth. That's what people don't understand about public evangelism. They think public evangelism, I'm telling you, most Christians are completely naive of what public evangelism is. They think public evangelism, you just throw out the, bring out the piano, play the soft music, and give the invitation, and that's the way it is. That's not how public evangelism works. The sower goes forth to sow, and he sows seed everywhere. That's what we're out there doing. We're sowing seed everywhere. We're probably not going to reap that seed. But somebody else down the road might. That's why people can't be patient with and can't do this, because they want somebody's heart to be supple. They want them to be ready. They don't want them to be angry with them. They want that person to respond in a positive way. They want all these things to happen like it does in a church service when the music's played and people go forward for the invitation. because they've been trained that that's what public evangelism is, or that's how people get saved. Sometimes people get saved that way. But a lot of times people have to hear the gospel over and over and over and over and over and over. How many times did you hear the gospel before you were saved? Probably a lot. I know I did. How many times did you hear the gospel before you were saved? See, it's not in vain. We have no idea what God's doing with this. We don't know. That's why farmers have to have patience when they sow their seed.
I care about what you think, so that's why I'm asking you.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I'm not saying because I'm angry.
Now, what else are you doing?
That's why I'm here. For you to be saved, okay. So you don't go to hell.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm not going to agree or disagree.
I'm
going
to get tonight.
Okay, bye.
That man, what he just did, he swung in there. Right? And he said something perverted and then took off because he was with her. But that lady, she got witnessed to. She got told about God's righteous law. She got told about hell, which she deserves. She got told who Jesus is. And that she's in trouble with God.
Look at this sign right here. Have you thought about that, how much God hates pride? Yeah, look at this. Can you see this right here? You ought to listen to this. Yes, all men are going to die. That's right. You're going to die too someday. That's why you got to be forgiven of your sins, because you're going to stand before the Creator of all the earth, and He'll do right.
God does hate pride.
That's right, He does. So how do you like my sign? If you had to rate it 1 to 10, what would you say? 1 being the best, 10 being the worst in your mind. What's that? What's sad? The sign or that you don't like it? Okay. Just checking to make sure.
Initially, when I came here, the head of security, which was a woman that was very butch, and she came out and she said, okay, you guys can stand here and speak your mind and do your thing, but you can't hand anything out. And I looked at her and I said, no, we're going to hand stuff out. We are going to hand stuff out. And she goes, okay, you can hand stuff out. I said, okay. And, you know, she said, you just can't force anything on anybody. And I'm like, yeah. Well, we can't force anything anyway. And then she commenced to tell me that, you know, that she's a Christian, but she said, I just don't tell people this stuff because I got enough to worry about of my own. And I said, well, Jesus told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I was super nice to her, and I didn't make a big deal about her trying to preach to me and get in her face and start yelling at her and telling her, who do you think you are, woman, and all. I didn't do any of that. Why? Because it would have accomplished nothing. All it would have done is caused strife for no reason. I knew that I was there, and I was going to preach, and I was going to do all, and that God was going to be with us, and that I'd just keep going. So I didn't need to start an argument with her. Some preachers think they have to defend themselves so much that they are a street corner they're on that they got to get into an argument and start yelling with people. You don't have to do that. You really can let people think they're winning and not be so aggressive. I've seen more fights and arguments started when preachers feel like they have to defend themselves. Or they they think they have to do that, and they start doing that, and they turn everything into a big fight and argument. Why? I'm there to preach, not to fight with you. I'm not there to argue. I'm here to preach Christ. There's nothing wrong with being wise. What do you think about my sign? What do you think? Now, this conversation is going to be interesting because this man is actually going to admit some things that are troubling, but he's a picture of what's really going on in our world today, of how lost people in America view God. Check it out. Did you read it? Okay. What do you think about it?
I think God loves every single person on this earth.
So why do people go to hell?
Person, even you.
Why do people go to hell? Why do people go to hell?
I don't know whether people do.
The Bible says they do.
I say I don't think everybody necessarily goes to hell.
Well, I didn't say everybody does. I said why do some people go to hell? Well, Revelation 21:8 says the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So God says that some do.
I believe in a God of love.
So you don't believe the God of the Bible?
I think the God of love loves every single person on this earth.
So you don't believe in the God of the Bible then, is what you're saying. So check it out. Let's back up a little bit here, right about here. Okay? Now, listen to some of the things he says, and we'll get back to where we were at, of course, but just listen. Think about it.
I think God loves every single person on this earth.
So why do people go to hell?
Person, even you.
Why do people go to hell? Why do people go to hell?
I don't know whether people do.
The Bible says they do.
I say I don't think everybody necessarily goes to hell.
Well, I didn't say everybody does. I said why do some people go to hell? Well, Revelation 21:8 says the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So God says that some do.
I believe in a God of love.
So you don't believe the God of the Bible?
I think the God of love loves every single person on this earth.
So you don't believe in the God of the Bible then, is what you're saying?
I believe in the God of love.
Well, I just told you. He said, I believe in the God of love. I believe in the God of love. So clearly the authority of what he believes is not the scriptures. Understand that it's not the Bible. I told you what God said in Revelation 21.
You told me what was written down.
Right, that's the Bible. So where does your basis of belief in God come from then? Does it come from the Bible or your own
mind?
Okay, so then you created God out of your own heart then. The God that you believe in was formed in your own heart after your own image. Okay. There you go. Did you hear what he said? The God that he believes in was formed in his own heart after his own image. And he said, yeah, from my head and my heart. So the God that he serves is a God that he likes. You see? Because, and where do we find that great truth at? Romans 1. Look at it. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, who change the truth of God into a lie. Do you see? He made a god in his own image. That's why people need to be confronted with the scriptures. They need to be given the truth. They need to be told that the God that you believe in is not found in the scriptures. You made him up. You made an idol.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. At least you're honest about it. A lot of people aren't honest about that. Okay. So then you have no objectional, you have no standard of truth for what you believe. It's whatever's in your heart is truth. Is that pretty much it? Like whatever's in your heart is the truth?
I wouldn't quite say it that way.
Okay.
I'd say the same about you.
No. I don't believe, I believe that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So man's heart is desperately wicked. And so I believe that the only way a man can know truth is to know God, because God is absolute truth. People say God is love, but is God absolute truth?
God is love. I think truth is very confusing in this world.
But it's
back then and it is now.
But it isn't. Well, then how do you know what love is then? What do you base love off of?
Because I love her. You have a good day.
Have a good day.
Okay, so did you hear that? Let's back that up. He just said a whole lot in a short amount of time.
No. I don't believe. I believe that. But it's.
So what I asked him was, is, well, where is your basis? So the so then the judge of what truth is comes from your heart. Whatever's in your heart. And he said, well, I could say the same about you. No. Because I believe the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God is absolute truth. God's word is absolute truth. And truth and everything ought to be judged by God's word.
Back then and it is now.
But it isn't. Well, then how do you know what love is then? What do you base love off of?
Because I love her. You have a good day.
Have a good day.
Love yourselves.
Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. 1 to 10. What would you rate it?
So basically, he admitted a lot of things. That he invented his own God in his own mind and heart, his own concept of who God is, does not come from the Bible. It comes from his heart. What he thinks God should be, how he thinks God is, that God is love and that God loves everybody. He doesn't find that in the Bible. He found that in his heart. And his truth comes from his heart. He said, I think the world is very confusing. Well, he's right about that. The world is very confusing. But absolute truth is in the heart, or is in the word of God. Absolute truth is in God's word, not in the heart. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That absolute truth comes from God's word. But his concept of God is skewed. It is skewed.
You don't understand it?
Minus 10.
Is that minus 10 to the 10th power or what? Yeah, it is. What do you think about that? You should think about it. It's your soul that's at stake.
Love is love.
That's not true. That's not a definition of love. Love is not a good definition. What do you think about my sign?
Awful.
Why? Why is it awful? It's just Bible.
It's hateful.
No, it's not hateful. It talks about how God hates pride.
God loves gay people. God loves everybody.
What do you think about my sign?
Your sign.
That's what you really think? That's a terrible thing to think. What do you think about the sign? So you think the Bible's ridiculous? Oh, that's the Bible right there. Proverbs 16 and 17. It's very clear. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look.
Thank you.
What do you think about the sign?
That's trash.
Why? It's Bible. What do you think about the Bible? Proverbs 6:16 says that God hates a proud look. So that's what we're talking about there. Yes, it does. That's what Proverbs 6:16 says. Why don't you come back and prove that? No, that's not what it says. I'm not number one. Do you see my sign?
Do you see my shirt?
Yeah, I do. God hates pride. That's why I was showing you that. Proverbs 6:16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. No, absolutely not. I'm not insane. What are you kidding me? Why would I vote for him?
I love it when people say that to me. You voted for Trump, didn't you? You guys voted for Trump. No, actually, I didn't. Actually, I didn't. Yeah, actually, no. See, they want to make it about politics, make about anything else but Jesus. So they can find, that's what sinners do. They look for hypocrisy. That's why we ought to be very careful not to give them any. People that openly promote wicked politicians, you got to be careful. Right? Because that's the first thing that they do. That's the first thing they do. They look for hypocrisy so they can put down the servants of the Lord. That's why they do what they do.
Aren't you lovely human beings?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Love my wife.
You don't have a wife.
Sure,
that's impossible. Right, that's not a wife. Sorry. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. God says what marriage is between a male and a female. In the beginning, God made them male and female.
See, here come the lesbians around there, and they had their lesbian couple, right? And they are this lesbian couple, and what'd they say? What'd they say? Oh, I love my wife, to try to dig, to put a dig out there, right? And I said to him, you don't have a wife. It's impossible for you to have a wife. You can't have a wife. Right? See how much you can give people truth like that as they're driving by, as they're going by, as they're walking by. You give them the truth. And sometimes that's all you can say to them is a little bit. But we don't know what God's going to do with that.
Male and female. That's what a marriage is. That's right. Hey, what do you think about my sign? I don't want to imagine that. That's awful disgusting. That's absolutely gross and vile and disgusting. Nobody wants to imagine that. Nobody wants.
She said something extremely perverted. Like, really nasty to me there. And I just replied, nah. Nobody wants to think about that. That's wicked. And we take it back to that sign. Because, see, that sign bothers them. It bothers them. That is a good sign. It talks about pride and has all the Bible verses of how God hates pride and the different things that God says about. And I'm telling you, it gets those sodomites and lesbians and LGBTQ people, it makes them mad. Because somebody has to warn them.
So imagine that. But marvel not that you must be born again. What do you think about the sign right there?
There is no God.
Really? You believe that?
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. I know, I gave you an answer. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. You don't like it? Man. God is love, but man is not. That's the problem. Man is full of anger and hate. God is full of love. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
See, they said, God is love, God is love. And I said, yeah, God is love, but here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. It isn't about God loving you. It's about you loving God. God gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for sinners, right? So God showed his love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God already showed his love. The question is not about God's love. What I tell these sinners when we're out there is the question is not about God loving you. It's do you love God? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's really the question. It's not about whether God loves them. It's about whether they love God.
I like asking people about my sign. Do you see my sign?
I did.
Yeah.
I find it offensive.
You do? You're offended at God.
I didn't engage you in a conversation.
You're offended with God. I think that you don't know what God says. That's what I think. Yeah, the Christ of the Bible. You don't know who he is. I wish you did, though. I want you to know who... How do I know he's a he? Because he said he's a he. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what the Bible says. God is a father. That means a... man, in that sense, a male, comes in the image of a male when Jesus came. God is a spirit, though. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But Jesus came as a man.
See, she got a little theology lesson there because, see, they hate God being a man. Jesus came as a man. The Father comes in the language of God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, but he comes as a father. He comes as a father. And he explains himself as a father. God is bigger than us, bigger than his creation. But Jesus, the Son of God, came as a man, made himself a man. Right? Let's look at that. They don't like the fact of who God is. Verse 7, Hebrews 2, 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See, they don't want God to be him.
Where is your Jesus from?
Right here.
Is it in the Bible? Yeah, that's right. Good point. Good point. It's from your mind. Absolutely. Your Jesus is from your own mind. That was a true statement. Wonderful that you told the truth like that. Right? Well, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, that's not very loving and tolerant. What's the matter with you? Oh, you're not loving and tolerant? Oh, I thought you would be. I'm sorry. I thought that was your. I thought that's what you guys were, was loving and tolerant. Oops. My mistake. I thought you guys were loving and tolerant. I forgot about that. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Yeah, what do you think about the sign? Rate it 1 to 10. What would you say?
I think you do not understand Jesus Christ.
I think I know who Jesus is. I don't think you know who Jesus is.
We can have a conversation.
We could have a theological discussion about that if you want. I don't think they like my sign.
Well, it quotes all the Bible verses, I thought.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
did you see my sign? You don't like the Bible? Why don't you like God's word? What? One being the best and 10 being the worst. What do you think?
What do you think?
I don't think God hates anyone.
Really? The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. What about that? Okay. That's Bible verses right there. What do you think about that? What do you think about my sign? You do? Come here and tell me about it. Let's show me that in the Bible. Okay.
Okay, so there you go. They are angry. That's a group of, and you notice it was basically all women talking except that one guy who was very effeminate, that man. See, this is who these people are. And you get to understand when you're out there, you start to understand who they are and what they stand for. What they believe about God. What you believe about God will directly be shown in your life. If you believe Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you put your faith and trust in Him, then guess what? He'll change your life and the fruit of it will show. If you've developed a God in your own mind and in your own heart, right? If you've done that, that'll show too. That's the way it is.
One thing for you to walk away with from tonight's sermon, it is that you aren't good enough. You're not. And that's the most hated statement. 90% of the entire psychology industry is based upon the fact that you're not good enough.
You see the guy come up and shut the amp off and do what he did? They're angry.
I'm encouraging people with the word of God, man. The Bible says that the foolishness of preaching is the way that God has chosen to save sinful man. And you will either mock and scoff and stop your ears at the preaching, or it'll cut deep into your heart and you'll think about it. You're mocking and scoffing. The Bible proves that you would mock and scoff. The Bible says that in the end times, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers,
covenant breakers. Oh my goodness, do we have an epidemic of covenant breaking
in America today? Christian or non-Christian, look at the rates of divorce. Look at the rates of divorce. You know, a lot of you are wearing outfits and showing off your clothing that only your husband should see.
See, you give them the truth. Nobody else is going to tell them, right? Nobody else is going to tell them.
It's not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons.
Look how many people are at this event.
Alcohol, all kinds of
All these people, thousands of them coming to this concert, just thousands. This was from about a month ago. They're everywhere, across the street, everywhere.
And you're going to hell because of it. If you do not accept Christ as your Savior, there's no getting out of it. Everybody is going to get out of it. You will stand, you'll get on your knees before the Lord, and you'll save him. Please give me mercy, Lord. And you know something? I'm standing right there with the Lord, and him saying,
are you going to go through hell on earth before you even get saved? If you do, remember something. Or you die, you're going to hell.
Do you see all the people?
But we know that the law is good if a man uses.
Do you see all the people? Thousands, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. There. And needing the truth, right? Endless sea of people. See, this is another aspect of our preaching. Here's Grandpa up here preaching. Then there's Brother Paul, while Grandpa's preaching, is handing out tracts and holding a sign, right? Then there's Brother Paul preaching.
It'll be too late for you on that day. Because the same God, the Jesus Christ, that died for you. It said you must repent your parents, the same God that is love. The Holy Scriptures say that God is love. And God loves you in John 3:16. This same God, the Bible says,
was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld.
there's still time. You don't turn today, there's going to be a time coming.
See, right here, there's some Jehovah's Witnesses across the street, and I was preaching the deity of Christ to chase them away, and as soon as I did, they left.
With God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ is God. That's right. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. That's right. That's the gospel we preach, and that's the one you need to hear today. That's the one you need to open up your ears and listen to. You need to listen to the truth. No, no, no. Don't be a proud, arrogant fool, but listen to the truth. Listen to the truth of the gospel. Don't be a fool. That's right. Because the fool has set his heart, there is no God. That's right. The fool has set his heart, there is no God. Don't be a fool. You see, there are no atheists. They're only fools. That's what the Bible says. They are not atheists, they are fools. That's what they are. But even the devils believe and tremble, even the devils. Charles Spurgeon said, no man has come to the depths of stupidity and foolishness. Not even an angel has went that low, because even the devil's angels know there's a God, and they believe and they tremble at His name. Do you tremble at the name of God today? That name that is above every name? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's right. That's the Bible we preach. We preach to you the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why? Because it's appointed that a man wants to die. You're going to die someday. Some of you are closer to it than others. And you're going to die one day. You're going to draw your last breath here. Whether you are young or whether you are old, you are going to die one day. All of us are. We have an appointment with death. We all do. You will not escape that appointment with death. You will answer to God one day. You will stand before God. And the books will be opened. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says you'll be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity, which is the second death. The Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable. You have lied against somebody else. You have slandered your neighbor. You have done that. You are guilty before God. You are dead in trespasses and sins. And guilty before God. That's right, guilty.
Keep preaching.
You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before the God of the Bible someday. You better think about your never-dying soul right now. You better think. You better sober up, friend. You better think about your life. What is your life? It's but a vapor. You know what? Fox News or one of the news organizations just flashed by that some 14-year-old boy was killed right in Times Square. Right there, put to death. Right there in broad daylight. 14 years old. What is your life but a vapor? I hate to sober you up with a little bit of reality of life here, but that's the truth, friend. You're going to stand, you're going to die someday. You're going to stand before God. You know what? Some men don't think they're going to die. They go home and they choke on their own puke, their own vomit, and they die. You're going to die one day. You better think about your never-dying soul. You better think about the fact that you're going to stand before God and that there's a judgment coming upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Better wise up and sober up that you're going to stand before God Almighty one day. That your life is short and it's but a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanishes away. It's short, friend. Life is short. It goes by quickly. Life ends fast.
There they go, marching on to eternity, and someone's got to warn them. Therefore know we the terror of the Lord. So we persuade men. That's what we do. We persuade them, we warn them, we get out there and we preach the gospel to them that they must be saved. right? That they must be born again. Marvel not that you must be born again. Okay, everybody. Well, God bless you. I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. We went through some things, went through some apostasy things, showed you some encounters with open-air preaching, which is important that you see the other aspects of our ministry. You pray for us. We've got a lot of things coming up here. We have our busiest time coming up of the year. At the end of the month, we have the State Fair. We have 10,000 tracks that we ordered. We also have another bunch of tracks as well that we have to order for our general use tracks that we're going to be ordering. And we'll be doing a lot of preaching to thousands, to hundreds of thousands of people over the course of the next 2 months. So you pray for us. Pray for our needs. Pray for the Lord to provide for us as he continues to do so. And pray for each and every person, each and every soul that hears the gospel. And pray for our needs to be met and all of those things that God would continue to provide. If you want to give to our ministry, you can. You can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. And you can, or mail us something. You know, you can do that too. Bottom of the page there. There you go. It's right there. There's the mailing address. Praise the Lord for his provision and his care for his people. He's always taking care of us. And I'm grateful for the prayers of God's people. And that is a blessing for sure. Sunday morning, we'll be preaching 10:45 a.m. Central Time. I'll be preaching on the will of God and be preaching on separation, doctrinal separation, which is the will of God for the believer's life, them to be separated doctrinally from heresy and from wickedness. All right? You continue to pray for us there and pray for the Lord to bless our efforts as we press on. Amen. All right, everybody. God bless you all. You take care. Have a good night and have a good weekend.